the drive toward perfectionism, the need for deep control, patience. These are, you know, the bedrock traits we're all taught to value in almost every career, every part of life, really.
Right. They're what make you successful.
Yet when you move into the world of active trading, those very qualities, that inherent normal thinking, can almost guarantee failure.
It's a huge contradiction.
Central, almost spiritual contradiction of the market. You have to completely rewire your mind away from what feels intuitive, what feels successful everywhere else.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a structured, almost clinical look at the mental and mathematical framework that you need for consistent profitability.
Yeah, this is a big one.
We are diving into a comprehensive stack of sources that detail the psychological and mathematical rules that define that rare few, that 5 to 10% who make consistent returns in the markets.
And our source material for this is an absolutely fascinating set of excerpts. It outlines the 10 truths of profitable trading.
It really is.
Think of this as the definitive shortcut. It's the foundational playbook that, you know, institutions and true professionals operate from. It's a way to compress years of frustrating trial and error into a focused conversation.
And we've got a really clear path for you today. We're going to start by rigorously unpacking the mental game.
Okay.
How simplicity and focus are the non-negotiable building blocks. Then we get deeply mathematical, get to detail the scientific metric of expectancy,
which is the literal quantifiable definition of your trading edge.
Exactly. And finally, we'll look at the crucial safeguards needed, not just to protect your capital, but, and this is key, to protect you from your own emotional reactions.
So the mission here is to transform your entire approach, to move from an emotional exercise often driven by hope or fear into a cold, disciplined, measurable business. Okay, so let's unpack this core issue right out of the gate. Truth number one. Identifying and accepting your mental flaws. It starts by acknowledging a pretty painful reality that most traders lose, not because their entry or exit signals are flawed, but because their emotional wiring overrides that strategy the moment pressure hits.
That's where the rubber meets the road. The market acts as this ruthless, instantaneous mirror. It reflects these deep-seated subconscious predispositions that you might not even realize you have.
Like what, specifically?
Well, think about how you handle FOMO, the fear of missing out. How do you view risk? What's your ingrained relationship with uncertainty? Trading exposes all of it instantly.
I find the comparison between career success and trading failure so compelling here. If you're a perfectionist, which serves you so well in, say, law or engineering,
right,
you will likely refuse to accept a small loss in the market. That refusal is driven by an ego defense mechanism. It equates cutting a small loss with personal failure with being wrong.
Exactly. And that emotional need to be right just keeps you paralyzed. You hold on to a losing position thinking the market must turn around because my analysis was impeccable.
And that's the killer.
It is. That initial small manageable loss then just balloons into a catastrophic account killing error. This is why that rewiring is so necessary. The moment the market statistically tells you you're wrong, you have to cut that loss, even if it hurts the ego.
So the goal isn't just to find a great strategy that works on a chart. It's to stop thinking like a normal person who is instinctively trying to avoid pain or seek gratification.
Precisely. If you operate based on those ingrained emotional reactions that served you well everywhere else in life, you're pretty much guaranteed to stay in that failing 90 to 95% of traders.
So it's a deliberate effort.
It's a deliberate effort to identify the specific mental flaws, impatience, greed, fear, that cause you specifically to deviate from your system when you're under stress.
That acknowledgement of chaos leads us naturally to the first defense against it, which is radical simplicity. This is truth number two. Keep things simple. Less is more.
Oh, this is a big one.
I see this trap constantly. The beginner trader who believes success requires 5 indicators, 3 moving averages, and 2 complex filters all aligning for what they call confluence.
And that complexity is the ultimate performance killer, especially under pressure. People mistakenly believe that a complicated system means a sophisticated edge.
Right.
But the essence of trading is fundamentally simple. It's just finding 1 or 2 reliable variables that you can plug into a basic mathematical formula designed to be profitable over time.
It makes perfect sense when you look at it through the lens of execution. If the whole game hinges on ruthless, unemotional consistency,
which it does,
on executing your edge repeatedly, then the simplest, cleanest strategy gives you the clearest path to doing that.
Yeah.
If your system requires you to check 10 signals across 3 different time frames, you're just going to hesitate.
And hesitation is inconsistency. If you're inconsistent, your entire statistically back-tested edge is just gone. It's voided. The moment a simple setup appears, the trader with the complex system second-guesses it.
Because they're waiting for that 10th confirmation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A confirmation that might not even be relevant to the core logic of the trade.
That brings up a necessary question about building a system. How do we know if we're overcomplicating things? What's the rule for adding a new variable?
The rule has to be strict. You only add variables or filters if the core system is already demonstrably profitable and you have rigorous statistical evidence, not a feeling, data that the addition demonstrably improves your final expectancy number.
Otherwise, you're just muddying the waters.
You are. You're creating confusion and guaranteeing you're going to break your own rules.
So if success relies absolutely on consistency, how does an overly complex system fundamentally sabotage that consistency?
Complexity forces hesitation and rule breaking, because too many variables just breed confusion in the moment of decision. And that moves us right into truth number 3. Mastery requires an extreme, almost obsessive level of focus. This is where most aspiring traders fail. They're trying to drink from the fire hose of information the market provides. And the brutal rule here is if you try to master everything, every asset, every strategy, every time frame, you will master nothing.
And that focus area is defined with military precision in the sources. It says you need to focus on one asset, one specific strategy, and one consistent time frame. Why is that compartmentalization so crucial?
It's all about neurological efficiency. Mm. It lets your execution become automatic, which is the ultimate goal. Think of it like a world-class athlete repeating the same drill for thousands of hours. Mm-hmm. When you repeat the exact same action in the same environment, say the one-hour chart of Bitcoin, using only a trend-following strategy, the emotional noise just starts to drop away.
Mm.
You're no longer thinking about what you should do. You're just reacting based on deep pattern recognition. That's the only way your skill level rises to an institutional grade.
And the reverse of that is a common trap of juggling. We see traders bouncing from the S&P 500 on the daily chart, then trying a microcap altcoin on the 5-minute chart, then playing a macro trend in gold. They feel super productive because they're always busy.
But they're essentially just gambling under the illusion of high activity. They really are.
Wow.
Every single strategy, mean reversion, breakout, whatever, it has distinct logic, different behavioral patterns. It requires a separate data structure in your brain. And when you mix them, you guarantee inconsistency. You might see a textbook breakout on the Dow, but your brain is still stuck in the risk parameters of the last strategy you were looking at.
Leading to a bad entry or a premature exit.
Exactly.
You know, I still wrestle with that myself, that tendency to try too many strategies at once because they all look so compelling in isolation. We used to call it strategy jumping.
Yeah.
But the stark realization is that all that scattered knowledge doesn't create deep skill. You might know of 10 strategies, but you don't truly master the execution of even one. And that lack of deep skill is what kills the account.
That's a vulnerable admission, but it's one shared by almost everyone who tries trading. Mastery requires ruthless discipline. You can learn other strategies later, sure, but only after you've nailed the current one to the point of automaticity. And even then, they have to be stored in their own mental compartment. You don't mix your tools.
So if deep focus is the path to mastery, how do we even begin to measure that mastery objectively? That brings us to truth number 4. Measure your results. This is where we have to confront the biggest liar in the trading room. Our own brain.
Your brain is a terrible accountant. The critical flaw of human observation is selective memory, what they call confirmation bias. Your brain thrives on confidence. It'll vividly remember that one massive winner that validated your ego and made you feel like a genius.
Mm-hmm.
But it will conveniently, often subconsciously, just filter out the 14 small mistakes, the improper risk executions, the minor rule deviations that totally wiped out that game.
So the moment you rely on feeling or memory, you've already lost the battle.
You have. A trader operating without objective. Statistical data is just guessing. And guessers always inevitably go broke.
It's just a matter of time.
It's not optional. It's non-negotiable. You have to treat trading like a real business, and businesses operate off metrics. You need a systematic trade journal or tracker, a database to record everything. entries, exits, risk sizing, your emotional state, rule adherence, all of it.
And it's not just about tracking profit and loss, which is reactive.
Right. It's about proactively identifying the actual flaws in your execution and verifying statistically if your strategy is holding its edge.
So why is relying on memory and feeling so detrimental to a trader's performance?
Because the human brain selectively remembers wins, and that hides the necessary information you need for improvement.
And now we transition from that psychological foundation to the mathematical imperative that actually generates profit. Truth 5 says, unambiguously, that expectancy determines whether you win or lose long term.
This is where it gets really interesting.
It really is, because this metric separates the hopeful amateur from the quantified professional.
Expectancy is, quite simply, the definition of your statistical edge. It is the single metric that professional traders, hedge funds, and large institutions live and die by. If you can calculate, backtest, and maintain a positive expectancy, you are, by definition, profitable over a large sample of trades.
Let's dedicate some time to breaking down the calculation, because it's so fundamental for the listener to really internalize this.
Okay. The mathematical formula is pretty elegant in its simplicity. Expectancy equals your win rate times your average win in R minus your loss rate times your average loss in R.
And the critical component here is that variable R.
Exactly. R stands for the precise predetermined risk per trade. So if you decide you're risking $100 on every single trade, then R equals $100. It's your unit of risk.
Okay, so let's walk through a quick example. If my backtesting shows that I have a 40% win rate, but my average winner makes me 3R, and my average loser costs me 1R, what does that calculation look like?
Okay, so your win rate is 0.4. Your average win is 3R. Your loss rate is 0.6, which is 1 minus 0.4. And your average loss is 1R.
Got it.
So you take 0.4 times 3R. That's 1.2R. Then you subtract 0.6 times 1R. So 1.2R minus 0.6R, your expectancy is 0.6.
A positive number. So if my expectancy number is 0.6, what does that actually mean in the real world, regardless of whether any specific trade wins or loses?
That means that for every $100 you risk, which is your 1R, the expected profit across a huge sample size of trades is $60. You're gaining 60 cents on every dollar you risk, statistically.
That's the edge.
That is the pure statistical advantage.
Right.
And it eliminates the emotion of the moment because you trust the math over the immediate singular result. If your expectation is positive, you just keep executing the system without hesitation.
Whoa. I mean, just imagine having that level of conviction. You know mathematically that every time you enter a trade according to your model, you are statistically adding positive value to your account. That's a radical shift.
It turns trading into a purely scientific endeavor. Anytime you decide to modify your strategy, maybe add a filter to reduce noise, that addition has to be rigorously tested and statistically proven to increase that expectancy number. If it goes from 0.6R to 0.7R, keep it. If it drops to 0.5 or stays the same, it's just noise. You discard it, no matter how great the idea seemed.
And this emphasis on the R factor brings us back to consistency and position sizing. If I'm inconsistent, sometimes risking 1R, sometimes 5R, the entire expectancy model just breaks down.
It has to be uniform and precise. Proper, consistent position sizing ensures that your calculated risk per trade aligns perfectly with the model you've calculated. Any deviation in sizing is a deviation from your statistical edge.
Which means we have to fundamentally redefine what a good trade even is. If my expectancy model is 0.6 and I take a trade that follows every single rule perfectly, but the market moves against me and I take a 1R loss, was that a bad trade?
No, absolutely not. A good trade is defined by the strict mechanical adherence to the positive expectancy model, irrespective of whether that individual trade won or lost money. You celebrate the quality of the process, not the randomness of the outcome.
That conceptual pivot is everything.
It is. And we see the power of this when we look at the source's examples, like their prediction that Bitcoin would return to $80,000 when the broader market was screaming about 100K.
That certainty doesn't come from a crystal ball.
No, it comes from trusting the math over the narrative, or identifying tokens poised for 200% growth in a quiet market. That insight comes from a model with a statistical edge that sees opportunity where most people just see boredom. You trust the long-term math.
So if a profitable trade deviates from the model, is it technically a good trade?
No. A good trade follows the positive expectancy model precisely, regardless of the outcome. Now that we have the math, we have to validate that edge before risking any real capital. This brings us to truth number 6. Backtest first.
Right.
Trading is unique among almost all business models because you can run your entire operation, your entire hypothesis against historical data for free.
Right.
Without spending a single cent or experiencing an ounce of emotion.
Using tools like Bar Replay on charting software, it really is like having a perfectly controllable time machine for your strategy.
It is.
And the goal of this simulation is vital. You have to run hundreds, ideally thousands, of trades to build rock-solid conviction and expose every hidden flaw before they cost you real dollars.
And that backtesting phase has to be brutal. It has to expose hidden flaws. For example, you might think you have a great entry signal, but backtesting reveals 90% of your winners happen in the first 2 hours of the trading session.
And the rest is just noise.
Right. The remaining 8 hours are just noise that generates negative expectancy. That data immediately shapes your rule set and forces you to step away outside of those profitable hours.
But the expectancy model you develop in that clean, simulated environment, it has to be robust enough to survive the transition to the chaos of reality, right? The friction is real.
It has to be. The progression must be rigorous. You start with Bar Replay, then you move to paper trading, a simulated live environment, and only then do you move to real markets with tiny capital.
And at each step, the model suffers a bit.
It does. It suffers from real-world friction. This includes slippage, the difference between your intended price and your actual fill price, and transaction fees, which eat away at your edge. Your expectancy has to be high enough to stay positive, even after accounting for that drag.
So the lesson is clear: patience and validation. Anxiety leads to rushing the process and deploying real money before you have statistical significance. That's a guaranteed recipe for failure.
And this brings us to the next protective layer, which is truth number 7, set safeguards. Trading, in many ways, is like building a house of cards. A single lapse in judgment, one moment where emotion overrules your strategy, can instantaneously erase weeks or months of effort.
So these safeguards are primarily there to prevent the worst forms of emotional decision-making, especially when you're having an off day or the market isn't working for your strategy.
They're there specifically to protect the trader from themselves. The most common account killer is revenge trading. That immediate burning need to chase a lost trade to prove the market wrong.
We've all felt that.
You lose a trade, you feel the sting of ego damage, and you immediately jump into a much larger unplanned position to get it back. That is the death spiral of an account.
And that is where the rigid limits come in.
Exactly. Setting an ironclad daily loss limit, say you walk away entirely after 3 consecutive losses, or hitting a predefined -3R drawdown for the day, it stops that spiral cold.
It's a circuit breaker.
It is. It enforces the discipline that your heated emotions are desperately trying to override. It forces you to accept that some days the market just doesn't align with your strategy. The most profitable decision you can make at that moment is to stop.
What is the primary psychological defense provided by setting rigid daily loss limits?
They prevent emotionally driven revenge trading and protect your capital on what are just suboptimal days. Okay. Let's talk about truth number 8, which is really counterintuitive for most people. You can go broke taking profits too early. This highlights the dual pitfalls we see.
Taking profits too early or holding losses too long.
Exactly. Both actions fundamentally undermine the statistically tested edge you worked so hard to calculate.
This is pure fear at play, isn't it? If a trader just had a painful reversal, a winner that turned into a loss, they become intensely risk-averse.
Right.
They get terrified their next winner will do the same thing. So they cut it at 1R, even though their data says they need to let winners run to 3 or 4R to maintain positive expectancy.
And if you habitually cut your average winner from 3R down to 1R out of fear, your entire expectancy calculation is mathematically destroyed. Even if your win rate stays high, you become a high win rate, low profitability trader.
You win often, but the tiny wins never cover the losers.
Correct. So the requirement is, again, absolute adherence to the system. You have to let those winners run. You manage risk by systematizing how you walk the stop loss up to lock in profit, maybe taking partials along the way if that's part of your tested model.
Sure.
But modifying this behavior based on fear renders all your back testing useless.
That brings us to maybe the most critical truth for long-term psychological health. Truth number 9, do not think about the money.
Which seems impossible.
It seems entirely impossible. The whole point of trading is to make money.
But it is the ultimate trap for the amateur. Focusing on the daily dollar amount, I made $800 today or I lost $1,500, it almost instantly triggers poor emotional behaviors. Greed kicks in or fear kicks in. And that emotional charge just compels you to deviate from your sound mechanical strategy.
So if we actively cannot focus on the dollar value, what do professional traders focus on instead?
They focus purely on process-based goals. The money should only be a byproduct of executing the system correctly. And they use a powerful technique. They reverse engineer their dollar goals, so they only have to focus on the mechanical input, which is their consistent R unit.
Okay, let's walk the listener through that reverse engineering. How do you convert a big dollar goal into a simple, actionable process goal?
Okay, let's use simple numbers. Assume you have a monthly dollar goal of $5,000. You divide that goal by your total expected R for the month.
And how do you get that total expected R?
You take the total number of trades you expect to take in a month, let's say 40 trades, and you multiply that by your known tested expectancy number. Let's assume your expectancy is 1.5R.
So 40 trades times 1.5R equals 60 R units of expected gain for the month.
Exactly. Now you take your $5,000 goal and divide it by those 60 expected R units. 5,000 divided by 60 is about $83.33.
So 83.33 becomes the precise dollar amount of R that the trader has to risk on every single trade.
Correct. Once that R value is calculated, the professional completely forgets the $5,000 goal. Their only focus for the next 30 days is to risk that precise R amount on each trade and follow the process mechanically. If they do that 40 times, the desired dollar result is achieved by mathematical default.
So the focus shifts from the scary goal of make $5,000 this month to the manageable task of execute my model 40 times with perfect $83 risk sizing.
That's the entire game shifting the focus from the outcome, which you can't control, to the input, which you can.
So if money is a measure of success, why is focusing on the dollar value so counterproductive?
Focusing on dollars leads to emotional strategy changes, but focusing on process ensures the mathematical outcome. So we've established this whole framework of psychological shifts and mathematical rigor. The final piece of the puzzle, truth number 10, is find a mentorship and community. While trading is often depicted as this solitary pursuit, just a person staring at screens, the reality is that the right environment can be transformative.
And we've established that the most effective trading style is simple, mathematical, and requires this cold discipline. It's incredibly difficult to maintain that discipline in isolation when the rest of the world is screaming about volatility or the next meme stock.
The primary benefit of community is finding an environment that is focused purely on viewing strategy as mathematical probability. This helps you put on those essential horse blinders, ignoring all the external noise that might tempt you to deviate from your proven strategy.
And it provides essential accountability.
It does. If your goal is to execute 40 trades at 1.5R expectancy this month, an accountability partner can make sure you're tracking your metrics honestly and that you're walking away the moment you hit your daily loss limit. It removes that opportunity for self-deception.
And it just compresses time.
Dramatically. Instead of spending years wandering through trial and error, the right mentorship can accelerate learning. It takes that subjective emotional struggle and forces it instantly into the objective mathematical framework we've been detailing. You can shave years of wasted effort into a few months of real skill development.
And that leads us right back to where we started, the necessity of ruthless internal assessment. If you've internalized this framework, you have the roadmap. Now you just need the self-awareness to apply it.
Let's leave the listener with three final, crucial steps for self-assessment, connecting back to everything we've talked about.
Okay, step one, rigorously ask yourself which three emotional drawdowns you have that most frequently sabotage your trading.
Is it greed, fear, impatience?
A need for validation, maybe. You have to name them, define them, and understand their triggers because you can't fight an enemy you haven't named.
Step two, figure out definitively if you know your expectancy number. If you can't produce that single number right now, you need to figure out the precise steps necessary to calculate it.
Which means journaling, discipline sizing, backtesting.
Right, because if you don't know your edge, you simply do not have one.
And final step three, assess if your current strategy is refined enough to be truly repeatable. Can you write your entry rules, your exit rules, and your risk management parameters on a single index card and just follow them mechanically?
Without interpretation.
Exactly. If it's not simple enough to be executed robotically, it can't be measured, and it can't reliably produce a positive expectancy.
So, to summarize the core lesson we took from these sources, profitable trading is not about having complex indicators or perfectly predicting tomorrow's price. It is a disciplined, systematic grind. It requires shifting your identity from a normal emotional mindset, which is biased toward loss avoidance and instant gratification, to a statistical risk-managed business model.
And that model is defined entirely by a positive expectancy.
Exactly. A statistically proven positive expectancy and the relentless, mechanical, consistent execution of a simple, measured process.
Thank you for sharing these powerful sources with us. This deep dive really lays out the roadmap, and it provides the necessary mental and mathematical toolkit for success. Here is the final provocative thought for you to consider as you move forward. The systems, the indicators, the rules, they're comparatively easy to design and backtest. The difficult part, the part that separates the 5% who succeed from the 95% who fail, is accepting that the variable you must control most ruthlessly, the one that will ultimately determine your long-term outcome, is yourself. Explore what specific mental habits, not market behaviors, but internal habits, you could eliminate today to radically simplify and accelerate your execution.